The information presented is for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are not necessarily the opinions of any Daikin company. This information should not be confused for accounting, legal, medical, or other professional advice. Please seek advice from a qualified professional for any specific questions.
Welcome to the Accelerated HVAC Success Program. My name is Ben Middleton. I'm the National Sales Training Manager for the Daikin, Goodman, and Amana brands. Thank you so much for joining us today. Today I have Mark Hagen with us, and he is the Director of Product Marketing. Mark, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Ben.
So we're going to be talking about refrigeration reclamation today, which is a topic that's been in our industry for a long time, but maybe hasn't been talked about a whole lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of buzz in industry going on about refrigerant reclamation.
Yeah, so what's driving all of this buzz? I know we talk about, we've got new low GWP refrigerants that are happening in 2025, and we've gone through this before, right? We went from R22 to 410A, and we've changed refrigerants before. Why is it such a big deal this time?
Well, there's a few different factors this time. The AIM Act, mm-hmm. which is going into effect already in 2022, we saw a 10% reduction in the allocation of HFC contents or HVAC refrigerants. Mm-hmm. So that allocation will have another 30% reduction in 2024. Mm-hmm. So with the reduction in the allocation, naturally there's going to be price pressure on the industry to have service refrigerant in the future.
And so I've even heard that they're projecting that there may actually be a 20% increase in demand, almost making like this 60% disparity that we're going to have.
Yes, and the industry's not going to plan to change refrigerants to the low GWP until 2025. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be 1 year period there where there's going to be some real pressure on the system for having service refrigerant.
So isn't it already kind of mandated that every system should be recovered and reclaimed?
Yes, it is. However, that doesn't seem to be the case for all contractors.
Hmm. And so how does reclaiming refrigerant impact this supply limitation that we have?
So the reclaimed refrigerant doesn't count against the allocation of the virgin refrigerant.
Okay.
So anything that's reclaimed can be cleaned up, can be recovered, sent to the reclaimer, purified to the original standards of virgin refrigerant and put back into the marketplace either as service refrigerant or as refrigerant for new product.
Oh, okay. So what's Daikin do today as far as actively helping to reclaim refrigerants?
So now Daikin has a very active program to recover refrigerant in all of our company-owned distribution centers. We make it very easy for the dealer basically to bring in his recovered refrigerant, and we'll send that in to be reclaimed and put back into the market. And that doesn't account against the allocation or the amount of refrigerant that can be produced under the AIM Act.
So we've set up at our distribution facilities, at all of our company-owned distribution facilities that we have today, kind of these tank exchange programs, right?
Yes, it's similar to like a propane exchange tank where you take an empty tank of propane to the local store and receive a full one. Well, basically, the dealer fills his recovery cylinder with recovered refrigerant mm-hmm. and brings that into our distribution center where we will give him a clean and empty service cylinder that he can then go and add additional refrigerant to.
So it makes it really simple and easy for the contractor.
Yes, it's very easy. And every location is able to handle. We have 30-pound cylinders, 50-pound, and 125-pound cylinders that they can exchange.
Okay. And are there any incentives involved for that?
It varies by market.
Sure.
But in general, there's no fee to the dealer.
Okay.
Gone are the days when they got charged a fee for bringing in refrigerant for what we call a bad mix.
Right.
If there's any mixed refrigerant, they get paid in general, okay, depending on the market. But it's there's not any negative incentives for them to bring in refrigerant, whether it's pure or mixed.
Okay. Is the AIM Act also a driver for the upcoming refrigerant change that we have in 2025?
Yes. What's different about this refrigerant change from the last one you spoke about is all refrigerants count toward the AIM Act maximum HFC CO2 equivalent, basically. Okay. It all goes back to CO2 equivalent. And so even the new refrigerants with a low GWP count to that same allocation. It's just that you can get three times as much R32 as you can R410 in GWP.
So if I'm a manufacturer and I have so much allotted that I can build, it's going to be in my best interest to manufacture more of the low GWP refrigerants than the stuff that would not be considered low GWP because of my cap I have.
Yes, that's right.
And so when we switched from R22 to 410A, there were all kinds of fun things that happened, right?
Yes, fun is a good way to describe that.
And so people got real creative with, okay, well, let's ramp up our production and build a whole bunch of units to go out there. And so we saw R22 units out in the market for a long time. And then all of a sudden we got, the industry got creative, right? And they said, well, we're going to ship dry units and you can charge them yourself. That's not going to be the case for this phase.
That's not the case in this phase. You know, one of the things with R22 was basically from the time the legislation was written to start phasing it down to when it was actually stopped in production was about a 30-year period. So we had a really long runway to phase down. We phased down production of new OEM equipment before there was a phase down in production of service refrigerant. Mm-hmm. In this case, with R410 being phased down, it's already phased down 10% from the cap. It's going to have another 30% a year before it's phased out of production. So it's a much shorter runway of phasing out the R410 product, and that'll have an impact on service refrigerant as well.
So talking about service refrigerant, are there going to be shortages then for just being able to even service the units when we go beyond 2025?
There could be. There's another phase down in 2029 of another 30%. So by 29, we'll be at reduced 70% from where we were last year, in 22. So there could be a shortage. There are only, you know, there are certain allocations that manufacturers can only produce so much of total GWP. So it'll be a market-driven, okay, and it can get really pricey.
Okay. So what's the environmental impact of venting 410A?
Well, it is substantial, and most people aren't aware of, you know, how big of an impact it can make on the environment. According to the EPA, R410 refrigerant, just one 50-pound cylinder of recovered refrigerant, and that has about 40 pounds of refrigerant in it, okay? It's the CO2 equivalent of taking more than 8 cars off the road for a year.
And so are contractors recovering refrigerants correctly? Or if not, what could they do better?
Well, some are doing a great job. Others, not so much. So that's why we want to make it really easy for them. We have the cylinders they need. We have the recovery equipment, the pumps they need to recover the refrigerant and put it into the cylinders. Make it very simple and easy to bring into our locations. When you come pick up new equipment, you can drop off your used refrigerant, okay, and exchange that for a clean cylinder and kind of start that process all over again.
Well, I thank you so much, Mark, for coming in and being on our show. Are there any final thoughts or words that you have for the HVAC contractors out there?
You know, I just encourage them to be proactive and to learn what they need to do to recover refrigerant and continue to be diligent to help environment. You know, Daikin is about an environmentally conscious company who's really wants to promote this operation and encourage dealers to recover more refrigerant.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you, Ben.